This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
On the long list of athletic traditions at the University of Virginia, collegiate boxing ranks near the top. Though the gloves have long since been set aside, boxing enjoyed an illustrious run at Virginia and was at one time known as the major sport in Charlottesville. Boxing began informally among students in the years before the Civil War, but in 1891, William Lambeth joined the university as superintendent of buildings and grounds and its first director of athletics, 1891. Among his initial duties was overseeing boxing matches in one of the university's first gymnasiums, which was a round wooden building at the foot of the lawn. In the late winter of 1895, shortly after Fairweather Gymnasium was opened, students founded a boxing club to organize Saturday night bouts and sparring rounds. And then, in 1904, Johnny LaRoe, a former Marine who had learned to box in the service and had coached the sport at VMI and Washington and Lee, he moved to Charlottesville in 1904 to open the Corner Billiard Parlor, which wouldn't close until the 1970s. When the students here at Virginia learned of Johnny LaRoe's boxing background, he was quickly enlisted as their coach. Under his leadership, Cavalier Boxing became a national powerhouse. The university's General Athletic Association, the GAA, the forerunner to today's Department of Athletics, made boxing an official varsity sport in 1927, just in time to host matches in the brand new Memorial Gymnasium. As many as 5,000 fans would crowd into Mem Gym to watch the bouts. The Cavaliers went completely undefeated from 1932 through 1937, winning a string of Southern Conference championships. The best collegiate boxing team in the history of America. Boxing as a major college sport eventually succumbed to the growing criticism that it was too dangerous and even deadly for student athletes. A 1950 Look magazine article described collegiate boxing as legalized murder. So the University of Virginia eliminated boxing as a varsity sport in 1955, and the NCAA refused to sanction the sport after 1960. The phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you'd like to share your memories of boxing at Virginia. Mary, waiting very patiently on line one. Mary, welcome to the program. You were there, weren't you?
Yes, I was, Coy. I was there at UVA from 46 to 49. I remember that Al York, I believe, was the coach at that time.
Yep.
And as you just mentioned, it was one of the most popular sports at UVA. And I attended many of the matches, and we were packed in Mem Gym, about 4,000 to 5,000 people, fans. And it was just great. And some of the boxers at that time, one was Buddy Schoaf, you remember Buddy, who played football.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy, I believe, broke his jaw in football and was unable to box in 49. So that year, if I recall, wasn't a very good year for UVA. But I know, I believe we did beat Army, and that was a great win. And people were just packed in there, just screaming and shouting, and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
Grover Masterson, I believe, was another boxer. And he was a very popular boxer because he was really tough, a big guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And a couple other players. I can't remember all of the boxers because it's been such a long time. I think Lynn Coyner was a boxer and Al Hollingsworth.
Some of the very best.
Yes, right. But it was wonderful. And then, as you said, it was discontinued in 55.
Right.
So.
We're talking with Mary, who was at the University of Virginia in the late 40s. Mary, the folks I've talked to who were there say that very, very different from today's boxing, all the cheering and yelling and screaming went on in between matches, and
right.
When they actually were boxing, everybody was quiet.
That's true. That's true. It was fun. It really was fun. And, you know, I really did not think I was going to like boxing, but I just loved it at that time. Now I wouldn't watch a match if you paid me.
Right.
But anyway, that's all I have to say.
Wonderful. Mary, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Let's go to Clarabelle on line two. Clarabelle, you were there?
Dolly Day. Now, Corey, you're really going to make me feel old. Unfortunately, for statement, as a little bitty girl, little bitty, emphasize that, little bitty girl, my mom and daddy took me to boxing matches at Mim Gym because daddy and his twin brother had both boxed. And your previous caller, Mary, was right. A lot of the football players also boxed, and daddy was undefeated. And this is back when it was an NCAA sport. Virginia beat Army, Navy, all the big guns that had big boxing matches. And they saved their gloves. And in fact, daddy's gloves are still in mama's finger chest.
You're kidding.
No, I mean, this
wow.
was, there was a guy, there was a man, and I can't remember, I'm getting as old as my parents. His name was Bear, or maybe he was just called The Bear. You need to write a book about boxing. Please.
Yeah.
It was a totally different sport when it was a collegiate sport, and I agree with Mary. I mean, as a physician, I'm not a proponent. In fact, there were many times when my mother would look at my father and say, "That's why you're so crazy. You've got hit more than you hit," which really wasn't true because he was undefeated a couple of years.
You know,
he must have been given it better than he got it.
I've spent so many years researching UVA history, and there's certain moments that I would love if I could travel in time. I had a time traveling machine. There are certain moments that I would just love to be there. One, of course, is in March of 1825 when the first students signed in, and Jefferson was standing there watching
yes.
the line form at the registration desk, watching these, you know, that's of course one moment I'd love to see, but I would love to have been there on one of these big nights back in the 30s, watching these guys in Mem Gym with a packed house, some of the best boxing that you've ever seen in the country, right here in Charlottesville.
It was right here, and they really worked. The stories that my father would tell about making weight. He played football at 185, and he boxed 165. And the stories that he would tell about how he got his weight down, and he boxed at Augusta Military also. And they would do everything to sweat it out, spit. This is back before the days of diuretics when you could, you know, take some Lasix and drop 5 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just, you really, before the guys that boxed are all gone, you, please write that book.
Yeah, we will have to do some more interviews.
Everybody was there. I mean, ladies in mink coats, kids in, you know, scuffy clothes. I mean, it was, everybody went to the gym. It was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, you know, back in the days before we had a big Scott Stadium or before the football team really drew them in, it was Mem Gym and boxing. That was the sport.
That's right. Because they were still playing football at Lambert Field before Scott Stadium.
Right, right. Oh, it's good stuff. Clarabelle, thank you.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Absolutely. Let's go to Randy on line three. Randy, you remember boxing at UVA?
I do. I don't remember the professional boxing. I'm a little young for that. But I do remember after they stopped NCAA boxing, they still carried on with intramural boxing. And we used to go to that as kids and watch it. Those were great fights. Of course, they were probably using 15-ounce gloves, so it was like hitting people with pillows, but some of these guys were very skilled nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know,
that gym would be packed.
The intramural coach was a guy that has since passed away, a wonderful man, Billy Williams, who was third generation there at Anderson Brothers Bookstore.
That's correct.
He was
That's
the intramural correct. Boxing coach, and I had the great honor and privilege of sitting in his home and talking with him before he died, and he had some great boxing stories. He just loved it.
I knew it. Williams. And one other thing I want to put in, and Clarabelle may be able to clarify this better than I can, but my uncle, who went to every boxing match, told me that a huge majority of these guys died from cerebral hemorrhaging later in life.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
that's
a lot
that's
of them died from getting hit in the head too many times.
Oh, that's tragic.
But I don't. That's the only input I've got. I don't have any facts to back it up.
Yeah. Well, back in the 50s, of course, before UVA eliminated the sport in 55, it was, you know, national press, one story after another about how kids were getting hurt.
Well, I think that the med school alumni here had a lot to do with stopping boxing at UVA. NCAA. From what I understand, they got together with the athletic department and said, hey, guys, it's time to cut this out.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Randy, appreciate the call.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for joining the conversation. We got the phone line open at 977-1070 if you remember boxing at the University of Virginia. And, of course, I thought of this because best seat in the house, Jay is doing the big tournament, trying to find the most memorable moment in the history of UVA athletics. And, of course, the very first thing I thought of was boxing back in the 30s, 1932 to 1937. The UVA boxing team completely undefeated. Absolutely undefeated, the best collegiate boxing team in the history of America back in the 1930s and the 1940s, boxing the major sport right here in Charlottesville. And what I'd like to do is take you back now to May of 1940. There was an article in the student newspaper, which before it was called Cavalier Daily, it was called The College Topics, and it didn't come out every day, of course. That didn't happen until 1948, and they adopted a new name at that time, the Cavalier Daily. But before that, it came out a few times a week, and it was called College Topics. On May 6th, 1940, student Charles Doughty wrote an article about boxing, and this was published the day after the death of boxing coach Johnny LaRoe, the greatest college boxing coach in the history of America. His death was mourned around the country. And, of course, there is a bust of Johnny LaRoe at the University of Virginia Alumni Hall on Emmett Street. So student Charles Doughty writes this article about boxing, and I want to read you an excerpt that really will take you back to Mem Jim back in the 30s. It was one of those February nights that the crowd began rambling into the stands of Memorial Gymnasium. The boxing ring stood quiet and foreboding in the center of the large room. Its white canvas mat was splotched here and there with the dark stains of previous contests. Managers were industriously tightening the turnbuckles in the corners so the ropes would have enough spring. The gym was bathed in clear brightness by the wire-covered lights high up in the steel rafters. The first steady rush of students began to fill up the large end section of seats marked unreserved. And there was a steady babble as excited young voices discussed the night's prospects. Occasionally, a high-pitched feminine shriek made itself heard above the steady hum, and tobacco smoke began rising towards the rafters, raising a hazy curtain over the crowd. Later, the reserved seats began to be filled as those lucky people began to amble in self-consciously. A young red-headed boy caught the amused glances of the impatient, excited crowd, as he expertly threw ice cream bars way up to the stands into the waiting hands of customers. The balcony was overflowing as the band began feverishly tuning up. This music attracted the crowd's fleeting attention and held it as it played several selections. A rousing beer-barrel polka elevated the throng into an even higher state of excitement as the holiday spirit ran wild. Suddenly, a deafening roar goes up from the crowd. All eyes are turned to the narrow entrance on the side of the center stands, the university's boxing squad, all clad in orange and blue. They resolutely file past and take their positions standing before the ring. The applause, a mass of yelling, hoarse voices, wild soaring whistles, stamping feet, continues and reaches a thunderous peak as the bright lights snap on and the overhead lights go off. From College Topics, May 6, 1940, by Charles Doughty, the day after the death of boxing coach Johnny LaRoe, remembering those unforgettable nights back in the 1930s when boxing was the sport here in Charlottesville and the University of Virginia boxing team was the best in the nation. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.